I wear a lot of hats. As president of the Institute of Public Affairs, one of Canada's broadest social action alliances, we engage ourselves with people's struggles for redemptive change. As publisher of Barricades, we brought together a community of interest that looks at Canada with a boldness of vision. But today, I am also truly an angry man. Because in 1 hour, Montreal will be subjected to a demonstration of a coalition of night crawlers. A serpentine, slithering sickness will make its way through the streets of Montreal. A coalition of political cynicism and moral hypocrisy that perhaps we haven't seen since the days of Le Noirceur, the Great Darkness, as it was called in Quebec history. A coalition not of the best and the brightest, but of those of low limitation and narrow circumstances come together to march for what they call justice and peace in the Middle East. But as Edward Murrow said when he attacked Joe McCarthy, by their words we shall know them. And I want to go through 5 points in their communique, these people who march for justice and peace in the Middle East. Their first statement is that Lebanon is being destroyed. We already know that that is not true. Less than 5% of Beirut has been bombed. Southern Lebanon has been bombed, where Hezbollah has been cynically using civilians as human shields, where they put their arms and their bombs in baby carriages and use babies as shields for themselves. But what we've been seeing on television has already been proven to be a lie. Nick Robertson, CNN's senior international correspondent, admitted as much on CNN just this week when he said that Hezbollah threatens the journalists because they have photocopies of all their passports. But this coalition still says Lebanon is being destroyed. Further in their statement, they talk about the civilian dead and wounded and the total destruction of Lebanon in their infrastructure. Also a lie. Not a mention, of course, of the million Israelis displaced, the dozens of dead, the hundreds of wounded. That doesn't matter because I suppose Israel is guilty of taking better care of its citizens than the government of Lebanon takes care of its. In another part of their communique, they talk about that the symbol of this Israeli savage massacre, as they call it, is the decapitated bodies of innocent children of Qana, when that sad tragedy has already been proven not to have been caused by the Israelis, whose bombing raids ended 8 hours before that building collapsed on the poor people in the basement, and the poor people in the basement had no signs of blood, never mind decapitation. Their resolution talks about a demand for respect of international conventions, law, and all UN resolutions. Well, obviously, they've forgotten about 1559, which when the Israelis unilaterally withdrew from Lebanon, ordered the Lebanese government to go into South Lebanon. And instead, the Lebanese government abdicated their responsibilities and gave over a state within a state to terrorist thugs called Hezbollah who held the population of South Lebanon hostage. The communication goes on to insist that the Harper government dissociated itself from the policies of the U.S. Well, obviously, these people haven't been paying attention. Harper's not following the U.S. He was the first Western leader to condemn Hamas's violence. He was the first and only Western leader to demand the arrest of Saeed Mortazawi, the Iranian prosecutor who beat Montreal photojournalist Zahra Kazemi over the head with a shoe and beat her to death, and then was sent as Iran's representative to the Human Rights Council meetings of the United Nations. This is a communique, and this is a coalition whose only form of expression drips with words of nullification and interposition. To see on the same stage at the same press conference, Denis Coderre, a Liberal MP and former minister, Henri Massé, the head of the FTQ, André Boisclair, the head of the PQ, Gilles Duceppe, the head of the BQ, and François David, the head of Quebec Solidaire, is Kafkaesque in its implications. It's no secret that the union movement has had it in for Coderre for 2 elections. Coderre is supposed to be the hardline federalist fighting Duceppe and Boisclair. Duceppe and Boisclair Couldn't stand François David for setting up another left-wing separatist party. So what are they all doing together on the same stage, marching with a variety of groups that is mind-boggling in its marginalization, ranging from a variety of radical Islamist groups all the way to the Marxist-Leninist Party of Quebec? What they're doing is pandering. The liberal is seeking votes. The union leaders, who haven't organized anything of consequence for decades, figure they can get some more union members easy by siding with this coalition. The tragedy of it is all these leaders, in quotations, are betraying the Quebec people. And I am angry. I am angry because I've worked setting up soup kitchens in the east end of Montreal, and the people there on the ground are not duplicitous. I have marched and organized with labor, and they are not deceitful. I have worked with the homeless and the hungry, and they don't practice deception. But these leaders are practicing lies, and these leaders, so to speak, are turning Quebec back 50 years to a time of isolationism. These, quote, leaders are practicing nothing but knee-jerk anti-Americanism, reaffirming their own failure as a people, reaffirming their own self-doubt that's driven by a jealousy of other self-belief. And these people are stimulating nothing more in their language than, frankly, borderline latent anti-Semitism. Where were these people? Where were the marches? Where was the outrage when the only democracy in the Middle East, where the only country where the majority of the nation is unionized, the only social democracy, where were these people when 2,000 Israeli civilians were getting blown to bits by suicide bombers? Where were these people when the dismembered body parts of Israeli youngsters leaving a nightclub were all over the screen? Or the shattered lives of the people butchered while celebrating a Passover Seder in the Park Hotel in Netanya? Where was the outrage? Where was the outrage? There was no outrage because Israelis don't dance on rooftops at the sight of bodies of our enemies' children. The West expresses sorrow and regret for its mistakes. The other side does not. That is the monstrous behavior of Hezbollah. That is to whom this demonstration is giving aid and support, not to the people of Lebanon. Where were the demonstrations when, after Israel's unilateral withdrawal from Gaza, Israelis suffered 1,000 Qassam rocket attacks? Nowhere. There was silence. It's time to call an end to this hypocrisy. Where is their outrage when 100 citizens are killed every day in Iraq with Sunnis killing Shiites, killing Sunnis? Where was the outrage when the Russians destroyed entire villages and burned down large cities in order to repress the revolt in Chechnya? Where was the outrage when NATO bombed Kosovo for 3 months and crushed the civilian population? There was no outrage because these leaders lack moral courage. These so-called leaders are appeasers. In Churchill's words, feeding the crocodile, hoping he'll eat him last. But you know what? I think there is a bit of hope, because I think there is hope in the people that I've seen on the ground that they claim to represent. And these people know good from bad. They know courage from cowardice. They understand bravery as the cardinal human virtue, and one day they will rise up in this place called Quebec. They will rise up and remember their progressive political patrimony, and they will do away with the opportunists. They will throw these new money changers from the temple, and they will engage themselves in building a new Jerusalem at home and around the world. And hopefully in that day, in that time, we will also see that the resolve of the West will teach Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran that this is not a war they can win, for this is not Israel's war. This is the war of the free. We will not bow down to their dictates. We will not bow down to their theocratic tyranny. We will not bow down to their moral relativism that led this week to a crippled 16-year-old girl being hung in Iran because she had sex with a boyfriend and a religious court said she embarrassed her family. We will not bow down to that political equivalency. Those cultures are not relative. Ours is better. And hopefully our vigor and our resolve will teach Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran that they have one of two choices. Either to fight the West, which has always conquered evil, or to learn to love their children more than they hate the free. We'll be right back with our first guest. To start our examination of what is happening in Quebec today, we're privileged to have with us Buzz Hargrove, president of the Canadian Auto Workers. But more than that, Buzz Hargrove has been a voice for true progress and true progressive liberalism, small-L liberalism, for decades. Buzz, thank you very much for taking some time out to be with us today. I know you're busy in New York. Well, we had a technical glitch, and we've lost Buzz. We'll get him right back. He's been on his cell. This is a problem because it goes to the heart of where is the union movement going? We've just lived through the QP Ontario episode. It was ununderstandable. It was denounced by five national labor leaders right here on the show and in the press. And now we have the head of the FTQ, Henri Massé, who knows a lot better than this, and we'll go into it with Buzz Hargrove in a moment, mouthing the same kind of words as some of the worst propagandists. Buzz Hargrove, welcome.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks for taking time out on a busy Sunday in New York. Buzz,
okay. What
is happening within the labor movement that draws labor leaders, in this case Henri Massé, who at an institute conference so not that long ago said, we don't agree with the Israeli occupation, but Israel is a trade union state, it's a democracy, we're not going to condemn it, and we condemn the outrageous violence of the Arab terrorists. What is happening within the movement to cause a guy like that to say savage massacres and to participate in a demonstration like this?
I honestly don't know. I'm not familiar with how the demonstration was organized or how the coalition come together. Bill, I heard your lead in here, and if it's anywhere near close to what people are saying in the Quebec labor movement, I think they're absolutely wrong here. The labor movement has a role to play on international issues, especially in areas of the
Clearly.
World where there's troubles like they are today in the Middle East. But we can't do that if we simply put the blinders on and say one side's always right and the other's always wrong, which appears to be the case here.
The end of the communique was, we march for peace and justice for the people of Lebanon and Palestine, where trade union leaders are getting killed every time they want to organize, but not a word on Israeli blood.
Yeah, no, I find that absolutely disturbing. Well, I see this morning again where the United Nations is working on a resolution that
yes.
The Lebanese government could put an end to this fighting if everyone bought in, and they've already rejected the resolution before it's even finalized. So they're not showing much concern for the civilians that are being killed in Lebanon, and Hezbollah continues rocket attacks on Israel with another 10 people killed overnight and four more critically injured. So it's absolutely impossible to take a one-sided approach to this dispute. Everyone should be calling for a ceasefire, an adoption of the resolutions, a peacekeeping force in the region to try to assist the parties as they go about putting in place long-term solutions.
I know you've got your pulse better than anybody else on where the labor is in Canada. And I know you were not happy with what Sid Ryan did with QP Ontario's boycott resolution on Israel, but generally within the labor movement, is there a recognition that Israel has kept faith with not only social democracy, but also with the rights of working men and women? Is there an understanding that this is the most unionized country in the world?
Yeah, I've always thought Israel used to have incredible relationships within the labor movement, and I believe they still do. And most of the trade union leadership, I believe, recognize that and say that and support the right of the Israeli people to defend themselves from attacks from terrorist organizations like Hezbollah and the Hamas. It's interesting, the only labor leader that I've read has come out until you say what the Quebec labor movement is doing. Up until then, it was Ryan, not even the national leader of QP.
That's correct. Matter of fact, QP National dissociated itself. It seems to be a problem endemic in
certain... as well.
That's correct. Buzz Hargrove, we thank you for your time. Have a good weekend in New York.
Anytime, thank you.
Thank you, Buzz. Joining us now is Luciano Del Negro, Executive Director of the Quebec Israel Committee, who's off to his own emergency meetings today. Luch, it must be a hell of a difficult day.
Yes, well, yes it is. There seems to be a problem with the line, Burrow.
Can you hear me? Because we can hear you fine.
Yes, I can hear you fine. Okay.
Luciano, from your perspective, as you've got a tremendous background politically. You're well connected in the media. You've been in every single community, Francophone, Italian, Anglophone. You're now executive director of the Quebec Israel Committee. What do you think went wrong? How did this coalition manage to get these various people behind them without really an examination of the issue and without saying one word about Israeli blood?
Well, look, there's a number of reasons, of course. I think, one of them is that this unfortunate situation is being used for cheap political fodder. Certainly there are forces out there who see that the very strong and principled position of Mr. Harper has to be attacked. And of course, they're using...
It has to be attacked by them for political gain. Saying it has to be attacked.
Right, for political gain. By these individuals who are in a dire fight in Quebec, given the good fortunes which, as of late, has been showered on the Conservative Party. There are other reasons, of course, where you see, and I fail to understand, and Beryl, just one important issue here, because I was unfortunately the line is not that great. I want to take this opportunity, as I've done in the past, to extend the condolences of the Quebec Israel Committee to those Canadian families who've lost those brave the brave sons, daughters, brothers in Afghanistan the other day.
Well, you know what? That's very appropriate, and I know you've extended condolences to the families of Canadian Lebanese who've been killed in Israel, in Lebanon. But you know what I'd like to hear, particularly from these organizers today? Some condolences for the 10 people killed at Kfar Giladi this morning. Katusha,
you're absolutely right, and what is it?
I found it ironic that the town that was hit today was called Giladi, and the soldier who was first kidnapped in Gaza was named Gilad.
Yeah, and I find it ironic that this movement has for its stated aim the denunciation of a sister democracy, a democracy which is in a fight for its very existence. I find it somewhat disturbing that respected political leaders such as Gilles Duceppe, such as André Boisclair, would stand, hand in hand with a political organization whose avowed aim is the total annihilation and destruction of Israel, of all Israelis and Jews internationally.
Luch, can I ask you to stay with us? We've just got to have a break here. Yes. We'll be right back with you.
Thank you.
We're on with Luciano Del Negro, Executive Director of the Quebec Israel Committee, discussing the so-called March for Peace in the Middle East today. That seems to have brought the worst elements of Quebec society together and conveniently leaves out any mention of what Israel has gone through. And Luciano Del Negro was just telling us before that we need to remember that Hezbollah, that is the effective regime in Lebanon, has in its charter the following. Israel is our enemy. This is an illegitimate entity. Its destiny is manifested in our motto, death to Israel. And just the other day, the Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the main supporter of Hezbollah, said, although the main solution is for the elimination of the Zionist regime, for now an immediate ceasefire must be implemented. Luciano, so they're setting up this ceasefire as sort of a quiet time for them to regroup, rearm, and relaunch.
Well, look, the international community has come up with a draft resolution, which unfortunately has right offhand been rejected by Nabi Berri, who is the speaker of the Lebanese party.
And the head of the Amal militia.
And the head of the Amal militia and an ally of Nasrallah and Hamas. I think that simply highlights or underlines, whatever adjective you want, this sort of duplicity which is coming from certain political extremist political circles who seem to be denouncing Israel for its attack, yet unwilling to even consider in any serious manner a ceasefire proposal from the United Nations. One would have to wonder what precisely their aims are. I think the other point, Beryl, which has to be made, is that this demonstration today has to denounce Hamas, has to denounce Hezbollah, rather, has to denounce Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, has to clearly point out that Hezbollah is the aggressor, has to denounce the use of a civilian human shields, as it was, the use of civilian shields, and has to denounce the genocidal plan of Iran and Hezbollah. If they fail to do so, what they were objectively doing, the leadership of this peace movement, who are very intelligent and astute people, then objectively what they're doing is they're giving solace to the Hamadjians of this world, they're giving solace to the Nasrallah of this world, and they're telling the international terrorist community that they should continue using human shields as an active weapon in their fight against democracies in a worldwide context.
You're not holding your breath for that, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. But
for that denunciation.
Well, you know what? We will see what we will see today. If they have any, if this leadership has any sense of proportion, if they have any sense of decency. I mean, I find it rich that André Boisclair, who I've known for 20 years, and who is one of Quebec's leading young politicians.
And social democrat.
And social democrat, and very active in the gay community, would actually, support this demonstration, which sees in its midst, people from Hezbollah, people who are, sort of part of that arc of Islamist fanaticism, who, for them, the issue regarding to homosexuality or lesbian is not that one of inclusion, is precisely how should they be killed? Should they be hanged? Should they be stoned? Or should they simply have a wall thrown on them? This is imagine Boisclair, who is standing today is the, we've just seen a whole week a conference on the lesbian, gay, and bisexual human rights committee, and here you have these people, Basr, the Shiite leader in Iraq, who is an ally of Nasrallah, actually has armed gangs who go out in Iraq murdering, killing gays.
We don't even have to go that far. You remember the interview with the wife of one of the Toronto 17 alleged terrorists, who, when being interviewed in a fully clothed in a chador with only her eyes visible, said all Jews have to be destroyed, but homosexual Muslims must be eradicated.
Well, look, the last homosexual to be two gays were executed in Iran in November of 2005. I mean, I find it somewhat rich that a person with such sensitivity, such concern for minority rights, for sexual minority rights, even for women, Françoise David, how can
David, by the way, who just a week ago, when Jeanette Lewis of Quebec Solidaire came out in support of Hezbollah, condemned her, and now sits with this group who makes not a mention of Israel and paints Israel as a criminal with lies.
And in addition to that, Beryl, I think this is your Françoise David, again, who is well known. I have known her since the days when she was a Marxist-Leninist, right? Who now she's,
well, we were all Marxist-Leninists
right.
at one time.
She reinvented herself, and fine. But I fail to understand how a woman who has been from the forefront of the struggle for women's rights could ally herself with such reactionary, obscurantist, medieval type individuals who not only wish the destruction of the state of Israel.
Speaking on that point, Luch, and I know you're pressed for time, I want to know where people can call, the silent majority can call, because one of the most poignant emails I received from last week's show was from a young Syrian Muslim woman who's, we'll use her first name, Rima, who said, I am agreeing with everything you've been saying on your program, and this may surprise you because I am both an Arab and a Muslim woman. I am an Arab because I was born in Damascus and people don't control where they're born. I'm a Muslim because this religion is a hereditary condition. You have it if your grandfather had it before you, which also I can't control. However, I can control my spirit and affiliation. What my heart knows and how my brain processes, information. Those are things that I have total control over. I am scared of coming out and saying my opinion because I don't want not to belong, but I need to do the right thing. And I don't know who once said, if the left is angry with you and the right is angry with you, then you surely are right. Where can people like this call who want to support either a more a balanced view in Quebec or really have some community of interest with them, some support groups with them?
Well, look, Beryl, you've been at the forefront of this situation, of this debate, and I congratulate you. They can call certainly you. They can call certainly the Quebec Israel Committee.
Which is what number?
It's just 1 minute because if they can look. The best thing I think would be www.qic/cqi.org. This is our website. This is probably the best.
Let me repeat it. www.qic/cqi.org.
Right. That is the website of the Quebec Israel Committee. I think that would probably be the best. Otherwise, our lines will be flooded. And we will, you know, get back to them and put them in contact with other people who are like views and like-minded.
Luciano, we thank you very much. Have a safe day today. And we'll be right back with callers after this. Thank you, Luciano D'Allegro.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Montreal, we're back and we're talking about the direction of this province due to the demonstration today. Are we going to become an honest, moral, courageous people, or are we just going to become a bunch of pandering appeasers? Arthur from Outremont is on the line. Arthur, welcome. Arthur, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Arthur, go ahead. Arthur?
Hello?
Yeah, we're having technical difficulties again.
Yeah, I hear.
Have you got your radio on?
No.
Okay, then you're on the air.
Okay, so the whole exercise, I think, is to depopulate Lebanon and move in the Shiites, and at the same time depopulate Israel, because they have no hope of...
Well, as far as Israel, Hezbollah's aims have been open.
Yeah.
They've clearly stated that, and with Lebanon, they're obviously trying to do it by stealth.
Yeah, so the whole exercise is to... is to just increase their influence there, and the next shot, they'll build up again.
Why do you think a lot of these Quebecers don't understand that, the ones who are marching today? Why can't they, one day, why don't they don't understand, what don't they understand about Lebanon for the Lebanese, not for a radical theocratic tyranny called Hezbollah?
They come here, they want votes, you know, they come here and they'll vote we for the separatist forces, so they encourage it, but they forget that the culture that was building up in Lebanon, the westernized culture, which they stand for freedom in here, they're trying to obliterate these Hezbollah. That's you know, that's anathema to their very existence, and they don't realize it. They're focusing all their... They're losing Lebanon for their own people, and they don't even realize it. It's not Israel. Israel's just trying to defend itself.
Thank you, Arthur.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
We're privileged to welcome Israeli Consul General Mark Attali. Mark, welcome. I know you're pressed for time as well.
Mark,
you have done a great job these several years that you've been here. You've hit every aspect of Francophone media. You've reached out to the Italian community. You've reached out throughout the province. Does this kind of demonstration cause you a sense of désespoir?
No, you know what? It's not a question of désespoir. I believe there are still many people in Quebec that don't agree with what is going on today. But, I want to start by saying that, you know, when I heard the press conference on Thursday and then the comments and the interviews on television of the leadership of this demonstration, you know something, Bill? I didn't know where should I cry or should I laugh. It seems to me that...
The language was impossible. I saw Denis Coderre's interview. And the anger that he said, les massacres sauvages. What about the massacres sauvages for Israel? On Israel.
I will tell you something before getting to Israel. It's a reward for terrorism. I want to tell you something. Today, there are people in Lebanon talking about Hezbollah and their supporter, and they are clapping their hands and saying, thank you very much. Thank you very much. In Quebec, somebody is doing the job for us. That's the problem. I'm afraid that the leadership of this demonstration fell in the trap of the radicals, fell in the trap of Hezbollah and its propaganda, fell in the trap of the Iranians and the Syrians.
Well, you know, there's some truth to this.
They don't understand the situation, or they don't want to understand the situation in order to have political gains. It's about time to make people understand.
There's some
Hezbollah is the responsible for the tragedy of Lebanese people. But you know something, more being upset as an Israeli, I think in Lebanon, all those Lebanese that are against Hezbollah, they must feel very much upset watching all those demonstrators and this leadership demonstrating for a certain cause that they don't even represent them.
Well, you know what I'm upset about? I'm upset as a Canadian Democrat who's given 30 years of my life to service to this country. And I'm upset that we don't have enough leaders standing up in Quebec and saying, enough of this nonsense. This is just a patent fallacy. And what you just said, Mark, about the leaders of the PQ, the leaders of this organization recognizing that they may have gone too far. We've just receiving word from people, institute personnel that are there who are saying that, number one, there are union personnel who are actually maintaining security. And yesterday we found out that the PQ had sent out notices that its people should tone down the language and rhetoric. So maybe they did wake up over two nights. I don't know.
Beryl, you know something? Wake up and fell asleep. I mean, this is not the point. The point is I'm wondering where all those people, where was this leadership while people were massacred in Israel by suicide bombers? Where were those people when the two Israeli soldiers were kidnapped and the Israeli northern border was...
Oh, that's easy.
Why
this is...
didn't go on the street?
No,
you know,
because this is Quebec, and Quebec, democracies have to take the hits. A failed state's right to be wrong is sacrosanct.
Democracy cannot be manipulated.
Of course.
Freedom of expression cannot be abused. We either believe in certain rights of democracy and freedom, or we don't. It's not partial.
And that's the bottom line. Where is Quebec going? What does Quebec believe? And do Quebecers have the courage of that conviction?
Well, are all the problems of Quebec are being resolved? Is only Israel is the problem today of Quebec? But you know what is unfortunate? You see exactly the same at the UN. If there's an issue that everybody in the UN, when I'm talking about the Arab countries and their supporters, they can have a consensus, it's only when it comes to Israel. And it seems that everything is Quebec is perfect, and the only problem to resolve is the problem of Israel. So my answer to them is, ladies and gentlemen, dear leadership of Quebec, Israel has the right to exist as a free country, as a free Jewish state, the only democracy in the Middle East. And if you believe in democracy, you should support Israel. If you don't believe in democracy, so forget it. Because if today you will not support democracy there, you're going to lose your democracy here. Because today the democracy of Quebec is being taken hostage by the radicals. And this is what I'm afraid that...
And these are the very same radicals, Mark, whose fathers 30 years ago objected when Prime Minister Trudeau sent in 10,000 troops into Montreal streets when the FLQ were terrorizing Canada, and now they deny that same right of protection to democracy to Israel. It is almost a fascistic state of mind.
You know, Beryl, I get phone calls from people, including from Lebanese community. Those people are afraid. When they see
they are.
That people are supporting in this case, when they are talking about pay au Liban, what does it mean, pay au Liban? Does not Israel deserve peace? Isn't it the fact that they have to recognize the fact that it's not that Israel woke up one morning and said, hey, guys, let's go on a war against Lebanon.
No, I kind of think it's jealousy that a small state like Israel has been able to do everything it can do. And frankly, there are still remnants of that jealousy throughout Quebec at their own failures to compete, not only internationally, but even nationally.
So I want to tell you something. Israel will win this war. Israel democracy will win this war because our democracy is strong and our society is strong. And you know something, we've been supported, even if they don't say it publicly, even by all the moderate regimes in the Arab world and many other countries in the international community. And it's needless to repeat what is the Canadian position, which is very much appreciated, because it's a symbol. It's a symbol of clarity. It's a symbol of saying to the terrorism will not prevail. So we're going to win this war because our democracy is strong. But I wonder if the abuse of democracy of Quebec that we're going to see today, I wonder if the democracy here will prevail.
I've said this before. I wonder about the strength of Quebec democracy when they can no longer even recognize a prime minister stand on principle, and they always look to cut down a man of courage to see where his political advantage is. The prime minister has no political advantage. There are twice as many Muslims as Jews in Canada. He stood on principle while these people are standing for votes and trade union cards. And that's the tragedy, and that's the moral hypocrisy and the moral bankruptcy of this leadership of this demonstration. Mark Attali, Consul General of Israel, I thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this break with some callers. Montreal, we're back, and we're devoting the show today to condemning this demonstration that's going on now under the supposed rubric of peace for Lebanon and Palestine, no mention of Israel, and all these great, quote, progressive forces in Quebec. Not a word about the only democracy in the Middle East. Not a word from them of condemnation of Hezbollah that killed 10 Israelis in Kfar Giladi today. Ironically, Kfar Giladi, the name of the first Israeli soldier kidnapped was Gilad Shalit. Not a word. Let's go to the lines. Jeffrey from the West Island. Jeffrey, there.
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Good, yourself.
Good.
I'm now planning to... I spend my Sundays planning around listening to your show.
I thank you, Jeff.
And you know what? You're not the... You shouldn't be the last angry man. You should be... Your show should be entitled Among the First Defenders of Western Democracy.
Well, you know, that's a message the Quebecers aren't getting, that this isn't Israel's fight. They're simply the frontline nation.
My point I wanted to raise, I think you're making, intellectually, you have an enormous argument, and you're extremely articulate at getting across. This is not an intellectual argument. This is an emotional argument. The Jews and Israel are probably on a per capita basis the most highly achieving people in the world. This is about jealousy. This is about pure anti-Semitism. It won't respond to logic, it responds to emotion.
I think that's a part of it, but I think the main thrust right now of this Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran axis, obviously they're anti-Semitic, their statements say it. They want Jews eradicated, their own documents say it. But the point is that Israel right now is not fighting a war for itself.
No.
America is not fighting a war for America and Iraq. They're keeping the terrorists busy over there so we don't have to deal with them here. 9/11 happened just 5 years ago. It can happen here. The Quebecers have to understand that.
You know what? That is exactly true. What people don't understand in this whole thing, the Liberal Party of Canada doesn't get it. You look at what Manley is saying.
The Liberal Party of Canada has for 13 years, with its bankrupt notions of moral relativism and political equivalency, debased the heritage of this country, betrayed the legacy of the tens of thousands of men and women who gave their lives for freedom, and have really no legitimate place in this debate, particularly under Bill Graham.
And you look at what's happening in Quebec, it's being driven by jealousy, it's being driven by hatred of Jews,
and one of the things that shocks me is that Denis Coderre, who's a lieutenant to one of the leading liberal leadership candidates, has not been denounced by anybody in the Liberal caucus or any of the leadership candidates for his savage remarks on RDI on Thursday. Not a word of reproach.
I was out of town, I got back yesterday. What did he say?
He said, "Je dois condamner les massacres sauvages," in that tone, de Liban par les Israéliens. I have to condemn the savage massacres of Lebanon by the Israelis. Not a word about 2,000 Israelis blown to bits over the past 2 years by suicide bombs and katushas that, when they explode, throw 100,000 ball bearings out like bullets and slice and cut flesh and dismember limbs from the body.
I'm happy, in a way, that this is happening. Do you know why I'm happy all this is happening?
Why?
Because now we know. Now we know the Liberal Party, they're not our friends. What we have known for 13 years...
It's not a matter of hour. There's no hour. Are they friends of freedom? That's the question. Or are they the party that, under Mackenzie King, the man who advised the Rockefellers in the 1920s to send armed guards to Ludlow, Colorado, when he was a labor lawyer, and shoot striking miners? And they did. The Ludlow Massacre. The man who was prime minister of this country pursued a policy of none is too many from 1935 to 1945, taking in less Germans, forget about Jews, less Germans in 10 years than was their quota for 1 year. Is this the party of real liberalism, or is this the party of political expediency?
I think the challenge we face, you know, the people like us, people like you, people like Stephen Harper, people like Jim Spatz, the guys, Jerry Schwartz, Heather Reisman, the challenge is not to convince people that Israel is right. The challenge is for them to convince people that we are next.
Absolutely, Jeff. We thank you very much. We're pressed for time. We're going to speaking to Al Gordon, as a matter of fact, so keep listening in on exactly what the Liberals and the NDP did to stifle free debate at the Foreign Affairs Committee. Montreal will be right back after this. Montreal, we're back, and we're talking about Quebec and Canadian hypocrisy on the Middle East question. And before we go to Al Gordon of the Canadian Coalition for Democracy, Sarah from Montreal. Sarah, welcome.
Yeah, hi. From one angry woman to one angry man.
Well, good for you. I wish there were more angry people opening their windows and screaming, we're mad as hell
right.
and we're not going to take it anymore.
That's it.
And we're taking our democracy back.
Yeah. Listen, I can understand the Arabs wanting to demonstrate, but I don't understand the affiliation of all these Quebec political parties. To me, they're still racists and bigots.
No, it's a matter of political expediency. The Liberals think they're getting votes in Montreal North. The trade unionists, who haven't bothered to organize because they won't get off their asses for years, figure, hey, this is easy union cards.
Yes, but they know that they can make inroads in Quebec because there is that racism and that bigotism. Do you understand?
Right. There is a latent racism in Quebec. There's all, you know, that attitude of les autres. Obviously still there. I think it's less there. I like to think that we've come a long way since Le Noir Sir, but I think the moral hypocrisy and political expediency of these leaders, if you like, of this demonstration is what irritates me the most, because I don't believe that people on the ground buy this bullshit. I've worked on the ground from the east end to the north end. I've seen the poor and the dispossessed. I've seen their courage. I've seen the fact that they're not duplicitous. I've seen their goodwill. And these political leaders are doing nothing but taking advantage of them.
Absolutely.
Sarah, I thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Al Gordon is one of the most authentic voices trying to make Canadians come back to what the hell they're supposed to be. A free and democratic people, strong, proud, and brave, and standing for a broader engagement in democratic development. Alistair Gordon, welcome. You're taking time off from cottage country, I know, but I think it's important to let our listeners here and around the world on the World Wide Web who know that this is not just a problem today in Quebec, but this kind of betrayal of democratic values happened in Ottawa last week, and yours was the only organization that really shed light on it. Would you like to describe to our listeners exactly what happened after Peter MacKay, who so bravely stood up for democratic principles in front of the House of Commons Foreign Affairs Committee? Following him, what happened to six Lebanese-Canadian groups that had been authorized to testify and how they were shut down and why?
Well, in fact, it was even more undemocratic than that. The hearing itself was called by the opposition, and as it turned out, it was clearly not to gather information and draw conclusions, but merely to demonize Israel and demonize the conservative government. Peter MacKay was very dignified and very consistent in the morning and said over and over, we can all go and demand an immediate ceasefire, but Hezbollah will not listen to our demands, so maybe we need to think of some other plan. But that did not satisfy the opposition. Then in the afternoon, between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m., the Canadian International Development Agency, the Canadian Red Cross, about half a dozen Lebanese groups, and the Canadian Coalition for Democracies had been accepted by the committee called by the opposition.
Al, I don't want to interrupt, but I want to just inform our listeners. The Lebanese groups that were stopped from testifying were not fringe groups that were formed overnight, many of whom are participating in the demonstration in Quebec today, but were well-known groups, well-established, the Canadian Lebanese Human Rights Federation, the World Lebanese Cultural Union, the Monastery of St. Anthony the Great, the Canadian Assembly for Lebanon. Go ahead, Al.
Yes, and in fact, when the session opened, Alexa McDonough was the first one to stand up and say that instead of listening to the witnesses, we need to conclude the committee business first. Quite rightly, the government side said, well, how can we conclude our business before we've heard the testimony? It's like issuing a verdict before you've listened to the witnesses.
And then that great comment from Alexa.
And Alexa then declared that, in her opinion, all the witnesses were representing a single narrow viewpoint
but
and
she
should
specifically,
not be heard.
But she specifically made the following quote, we already know what they think.
She said we already know what we think. And
no, she said that we already know what the groups think.
What they think, exactly. And the insult of lumping this very diverse group together as one narrow focus was beyond belief. I think what really showed what she and Keith Martin and Francine Lalonde and Dan McTeague and the rest of them were up to was when the chair of the committee, Kevin Sorensen, said, well, Ms. McDonough, would it be okay if we heard from the from CETA and from the Canadian Red Cross? No, we aren't going to hear from anybody. So they clearly wanted to harass and criticize the government with a vast number of invented and claims that could not be substantiated without any contradiction from those on the ground who knew the situation. The most incredible part of it was one of them, one of the Lebanese witnesses, for example, was going to read a message from his mother. This is the narrow viewpoint that he represented. His mother, who had been evacuated that previous weekend, he was going to describe her experiences and the level of care that she received, and she wanted to thank the people of Canada. That was the witness that, according to Alexa McDonough, was a single narrow viewpoint. Now, clearly, a witness like that is a threat to her because...
We know that the progressive left, in quotations, loves their preconceived notions, and they cherish them and they warm them in their hands like diamonds.
Well, they do, and they will suppress any dissent whatsoever. As somebody said to me, and I thought it was quite smart, that Alexa McDonough, they've often wondered what school of socialism Alexa McDonough was inspired by, and now we know it was National Socialism.
Either that or at least Stalinist socialism.
Yeah, well...
You know, the amazing thing is, Al, that we're getting reports out of South Lebanon, and people are starting to voice their dismay at Hezbollah. We've had reports in national newspapers recently from the town of Ain Abel. People are beginning to speak out, and they're Lebanese Christians that we've had two testimonies from. And I hope that these groups that are demonstrating in Parc La Fontaine today don't mind that these are Lebanese Christians that are saying this. But one woman named Rima Khoury said Hezbollah are using us as human shields.
That's right.
And she said their protection comes with a heavy price. We want nothing to do with them. Another man named Nasser Karim shared her sentiments. He comes from the village of Bin Jabil that had that vicious battle last Thursday. And he's a dentist, and he said 5 minutes after Hezbollah fired the rockets from in front of his window. In front of his window. He says they're making us magnets for bombs. But that, of course, can't be heard in our wonderful, morally neutral Canada.
No, and that type of testimony would have shown the racist farce that was being enacted by the opposition. And the subsequent outburst by Denis Coderre, I think the good news in all this is we know what the Liberal Party is all about. The Liberal Party of Canada, the Bloc, the NDP, and I will be very blunt here, and I will say they are out whoring for votes.
Can't be blunter than I've been, Al.
They've picked the largest voting bloc. They are going to support that bloc as they see it in their minds, and they don't care how much blood is spilled.
But you know, Al, I think there's the bright spot on the horizon for me is that there are not only organizations like the CCD or the Institute, but there are others like, you know, people like Buzz Hargrove, national leaders that have had enough. They've had enough of the garbage and the bullshit and the neutrality that Canada never ever had. And they're beginning to come on, and they're beginning to speak out even against their own union leaders, even against their own union brothers and sisters.
Well, I think eventually the message has to sink in, even in people who have held pretty strong and what I would consider to be indefensible views for quite a long time. The message eventually sinks in. And, I mean, I think people are seeing that Prime Minister Harper is the first Canadian Prime Minister in many years to understand that being an honest broker requires a leader who has the moral clarity to distinguish between democracy and terror, to distinguish between those who wish to live in peace and those who are committed to their destruction. You know, between, as Churchill said, the fire brigade and the arsonist. And I think, like Churchill, Prime Minister Harper is a leader who's going to be judged not by transient blips in popularity that the Globe and Mail and others just love to trot out.
Well, the Globe and Mail is a Liberal Party at prayer.
But he will not. That's not how he's going to be judged. He will be judged in the fullness of history. And he will be judged in the way Churchill was judged. And Bill Graham and the rest of them will have the judgment that history has reserved for Neville Chamberlain. I think for the first time, I am not profoundly ashamed of Canada's foreign policy.
Clearly. Al, please stay with us. We have Isaac on the line. Isaac, welcome. You've been waiting patiently. Isaac? Well, I guess.
Two or three major issues. As Jeff, your previous caller, said very well, there is very little need to convince people about what Israel has done. The whole world is completely familiar with Israel. You have absolutely no idea how much help the government of India has received from this tiny country called Israel. The issue I'm trying to raise here is this demonstration today is what I call sort of combined with a few opportunistic anti-Semites, such as Quebec Solidaire and such as the labor unions. What they're doing is they're taking the
Isaac, if I might, whenever I hear that, I try to I interrupt for this reason. Because I have spent the better part of my adult life trying to make Canadians and Quebecers understand that that social justice doesn't stop at our borders. Quebec separatist parties have basically based their arguments for a generation on sang et langue, blood and language. Yes, there may be aspects of anti-Semitism, but the main thing here is the main reason why Quebecers and Canadians must support this struggle is that Israel is simply the frontline nation in the democratic family of nations fighting a tyranny as deadly as the Nazis. And the message and metaphor is civil rights. The message and metaphor is freedom. And the message and metaphor is Israel is today's Czechoslovakia. Israel is today's Austria when Hitler walked in and took it. And Israel is today's low countries. And Israel is today's Poland that led to a world war.
Right.
That's the
right
message and metaphor.
Well, Beryl, as Jeff
anti-Semitism
said,
will never go away.
You're right. As Jeff said earlier, these people will not lose a night's sleep if anything happens to Israel. The issue is that they're using this opportunity to bring more people from what I call this proxy Hezbollah group that is in Montreal, and they're using them to further their own cause. And on the other side, the proxy Hezbollah people are using these so-called unions and the Quebec Solidaire to further their own cause. It's like each side is feeding the other. However, people like André Boisclair should realize that he, being a gay, should never make an attempt to go to any extremist Islamist country, because what they will do is, within seconds of finding who he is, they might hang him by his toenails. So the issue is, these naive people here, to some extent, not entirely naive, but they're using each other. And maybe this is a good play right now we're seeing, rather than wait for another few months, because some of them are smelling what I call blood. And they feel this is an opportunity to go after Israel. But they're wrong. I mean, they know that if they can get enough people, then they can sort of drive a wedge into society here in Canada. That's my point, okay?
Isaac, and I thank you for it. Al Gordon, please stay with us. We're coming back after this break.
Thanks.
Montreal, we're back, and we're discussing Canada's and Quebec's views on Israel and the morally bankrupt demonstration that was organized by supposed leaders today. Al Gordon of the Canadian Coalition of Democracies is with us from Toronto. Al, I thank you for your patience. We just got in touch with Richard Marceau, the former Bloc Québécois MP, communications consultant, who is actually in Jerusalem. Richard, how are you? And thank you for taking the time to be with us.
No problem, Beryl. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Richard, we've been discussing what it was that brought these diverse groups together, and so far we're hearing reports as of 1:30 that there are only several hundred people in LaFontaine Park, but of course all the leadership. But what do you think it is that brought these diverse groups together without a mention of Israel in a strictly one-sided kind of demonstration? Was it strictly political expediency?
Well,
and we're talking about the leadership, not the groups themselves.
I think there is a tendency in Quebec to see any conflict as being bad per se and having to stop without any understanding the broader consequences of what is going on. Of course, any armed conflict is tragic. Every civilian or military life is lost is tragic. But I think some people fail to see the bigger picture, which is that it is a fight against an ideology that wants to impose its views not only on Israel. Israel's only at the forefront of the battle, but also across the world. And that is something that the West and Quebecers have not necessarily clued into so far.
Richard, what is the feeling on the ground in Israel right now, particularly after the attack on Kfar Gilati that killed 10 people today? What's the spirit?
People are very sad. Of course, everybody knows somebody in the army now. People want to get the job done. People want to make sure that when this conflict is over, the main war aims of Israel are achieved, that is to have a secure northern border, to make sure that Hezbollah is not in a position ever again to threaten Israeli innocent lives.
So the resolve is holding.
Oh yeah, so far the resolve is holding, and people want to make sure that those objectives are met.
We're just getting breaking news right now, which I'm sure you've had already, but we're just getting it that Haifa's had a rain of rockets on it, and there's at least one person dead in Haifa.
Well, it keeps falling. People are glued to the radio or the television. Some channels that are usually mainstream channels are switched to mainly news items. But there's a resolve not only to finish the job but to also not abandon their way of life, and people are out in the streets, in the cafes, and not wanting those fanatics to stop what makes Israel great, i.e. this Rodavi, this freedom and the democracy that Israelis enjoy.
Richard, merci beaucoup, bon courage. I know you're busy over there, and I thank you for taking the time to spend with us today.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you, Richard. That was Richard Marceau from Jerusalem. Al Gordon.
I'm here.
Mr. Graham, you wrote in the CCD release, actually believes that Israel should negotiate with an organization that his own government designated as a terrorist entity. He's telling Israel that she must deal with Hezbollah, whose opening demand is the release of hundreds of prisoners with Israeli blood on their hands, starting with, and I wanted to make this personal, I wanted the listeners to get it. The Lebanese lie about Khana, but this is documented, starting with Samir Kuntar, a Palestinian whose gang kidnapped 4-year-old Israeli Anat Hanan and his father and took them to Gaza, where they smashed in the head of the child in front of his father before shooting the father to death. For this atrocity, Kuntar is hailed as a Hezbollah hero. Who do we negotiate with?
Well, there is no one to negotiate with.
When I say
with.
We, the Western world, because questions are being asked to the United Nations, well, Hezbollah should be called into these talks about the UN resolution. Talk to whom? Nasrallah, apparently, supposedly in the Iranian embassy.
Well, can I just make one tangential comment, and that is it's an absolute honor to be on your program with Richard Marceau. He is a very, very brave voice. He's a man with a moral compass, and I wish we had more like him. I am as proud of Richard Marceau as I am ashamed of Bill Graham. I think I read something very interesting about this infantile demand for an immediate ceasefire, like a squawking parrot in the corner is what Canada is.
I'm stealing that line. I'm going to steal that line, Al, a squawking parrot in the corner.
Well, there's an even better line, and it's not mine, but I read somebody say that demanding a ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel is like demanding an immediate cessation of all action involving violent drug dealers and the Drug Enforcement Agency.
Tremendous.
And then when the Drug Enforcement Agency is forced to keep making arrests of violent drug dealers because the drug dealing doesn't stop, to blame the Drug Enforcement Agency for causing the conflict. And I think that's a very, very apt metaphor. And the other thing that Richard Marceau said that is so true, and you've said it as well, is that this is the same war against the same enemy that was probably pretty close to slaughtering thousands of people in Toronto or in Canada. And that's the same enemy that Israel's facing. It's the same ideology. It's the same one that's massacred innocents in Mumbai, Kashmir, London, Madrid, New York, Philippines, Bali, Thailand, Algeria, Egypt, Lebanon, Russia. I mean, everywhere around the world, it is the same ideology. And had that plan in Toronto gone off, I don't think I believe we would have had a death toll worse than 9/11, because the explosion would have happened at ground level and there would have been no time for escape.
You know, the craziness of this is it's not only the big stuff. And Al, let me just pay a bill here and we'll be right back with you.
All right.
Okay. Montreal, we're back with Al Gordon, Canadian Coalition of Democracies. Al, what I was going to say to you before the break, We tend to focus on the big stuff, and it's important, of course. We can have a 9/11 here in Canada. We can have a London bombing. But, you know, people tend to forget the kind of things that Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, the kind of things that Khaled Mashal, the political director of Hamas, and even Haniyeh, the prime minister of Hamas, have defended in day-to-day life, and certainly are defended by Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran. We tend to forget the following, what Ed Murrow called the little pictures that make up the real story. Muslims cutting off the heads of three teenage girls on the way to school in Indonesia. Reason? They were going to a Christian school. No Muslim outrage. Muslims, radical Muslims, murdering teachers trying to teach Muslim children.
It's okay, 9:40 news. 9:40.
Sorry, we're getting some interference. Muslims who murdered over 80 tourists with car bombs outside cafes and hotels in Egypt. In Egypt, no radical Muslim outrage. A radical Muslim attack on a missionary school in India, killing six children because the missions were run by Christians. No Muslim outrage. It's the small pictures we forget about. How do we bring those to the fore?
In part is that not only is there no Muslim outrage, there is no outrage from the United Church, from Denis Coderre, or from anybody else. In other words, somehow, when the perpetrators are Muslim...
9:40 news, I'm going to be on the air now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, 9:40 a.m.
Sorry, we've got some technical backup here. Al, go ahead. Al?
Is that when the kind of, you know, beheading Christian schoolgirls, machine-gunning children in Beslan, blowing up tourists in Egypt, slaughtering over 100,000 Algerians... The massacre, the genocide going on in Sudan, none of these bring out rage and massive demonstrations on the part of moderate Muslims or on the part of leaders such as Denis Coderre or Alexa McDonough and so on. And yet,
God forbid there's a cartoon, of course. God forbid there's a cartoon, of course.
God forbid there's a cartoon. Yet, when a country that could be the example of the Middle East. Just imagine for a minute that instead of Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria, and Iran, we had four Israels. The area would require about as much attention as Scandinavia.
Exactly.
And yet, what is a country that the United Church and all these sort of left-wing do-gooders choose to vilify and demonize is the very best? They choose to want to destroy the country that has the answer to peace in favor of those committed to genocide
and
war.
You know, Al, George Bernard Shaw said, liberty demands responsibility. That's why so many dread it. And so many people dread the responsibility of liberty, not just the rights of democracy, that they change their very language. You know, they use civilians in the media. Well, that's only in Lebanon, who have munitions in their basements. It's never people in Israel getting hit with those weapons. Disproportionate always means that the Hezbollah aggressors, whose primitive rockets can't kill very many Israelis, are losing. Then it becomes disproportionate. Hezbollah are always militants. In Quebec, the Israelis are never militants. They're just les Juifs. They've changed the very language just because they don't want the responsibility of recognizing what it means to be free.
Well, that may explain in part the kind of words that we hear from Bill Graham. Bill Graham was actually quoted as saying that Mr. Harper is proud of the fact that he wasn't nuanced. nuance has kept us in a position.
Yeah, what the hell did that mean, nuance?
Well, I mean,
how do you have nuance between murderers and a democratic state?
Just look at what Hezbollah is. It is the armed front of Iran. It is the armed front of the country whose president has called for the nuclear annihilation of Israel. The leader of Hezbollah put out a request to the world's Jews saying, please gather in Israel so we don't have to hunt you down around the world. Now, this is an organization that this clown, and I will call him a clown, Bill Graham, expects that nuance will influence them. I don't know what kind of effect. I mean, his naivete would be amusing if it wasn't the cause of so much innocent bloodshed. But unfortunately, the aid and comfort he gives to the enemy is what keeps the enemy going. And I believe that the liberal foreign policy and these types of voices in countries like Canada and Europe have an immense amount of innocent blood on their hands. This is not just a harmless point of view.
You're right on, Al. We don't need a fifth column of radical anythings in Canada. We've got a fifth column of idiot politicians on the left. Alistair Gordon.
As Isaac rightly pointed out, I think the group he was characterizing was what Lenin called his useful idiots. And the media, academia, and left liberal politicians are truly today's useful idiots.
Alistair Gordon, I thank you for all the time you spent with us. I know you're up in God's country. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
I sure will, Beryl. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Montreal will be back right after this. Well, Montreal, for all the frustration that we started the show with and all the anger at the moral bankruptcy of most of our political leadership in Quebec, this show, the guests we've had on, the callers we've had on, should have restored some faith that the people sometimes have more common sense. Let me rephrase that. The people almost always have more common sense than the leaders, and they can smell bullshit a mile away. Because so far the demonstration in the park has only got a couple of hundred people. We're going to wrap up with a final caller and some comments. I want to remind everybody they can reach me at info@iapm.ca, info@iapm.ca. And that this will be our last Sunday broadcast. Starting tomorrow, we're going to be moving 4 days a week, Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. And I'll also be doing some commentary with Jim Duff at around 6:45 a few days. In the week, that should be kind of interesting and fun for everybody to listen to. It'll certainly get your blood boiling. So before I close this show, let me just take one final caller, and I apologize to everyone who called. I know Barry was on the line for a long time. We're trying to get back to him. So, Zach from Montreal, you got 30 to 40 seconds. How are you?
Very good. Yourself?
Okay.
Okay, so what is this exactly? I mean, you guys are only supporting one side of the cause. I mean, there's no
us guys. What we were examining here was the deliberate lies by politicians who put out a press release completely one-sided, completely filled with lies, and we wanted to know and examine why and get the public's reaction to it as to why this was so completely one-sided on the part of the politicians, not on the part of the groups.
Okay, understandable, but I mean, there's 900 civilians that got slaughtered.
Yeah, and there's 2,000 Israelis that got slaughtered.
When?
Zach, if you're asleep, go back to sleep, because the past 22 months, 2,000 Israelis have been killed through suicide bombers with nails and ball bearings tearing their flesh and their bones. If Jewish blood is cheap to you, Zach, I'm sorry for you. Okay, Montreal, we're out of here, but before we're out of here, I want to read something to you that a friend of mine sent to me, and I thank Aaron for this because it's a comment by Eric Hoffer. Eric Hoffer is one of our greatest philosophers, one of my favorite philosophers. This is a man who spent his life as a longshoreman and wrote some of the finest books called The Temper of Our Times and The True Believer. And this is from 1968 and is as applicable today as it was then. He says, this is right after the 67 war, and he wrote, the Israelis are a peculiar people. Things permitted to other nations are forbidden to Israelis and to Jews. Other nations drive out thousands, even millions of people, and there's no refugee problem. Russia did it, Poland and Czechoslovakia did it, Turkey threw out 1 million Greeks, and Algeria 1 million Frenchmen. Indonesia threw out heaven knows how many Chinese, and no one says a word about refugees. But in the case of Israel, the displaced Arabs have become eternal refugees, even though Emil Guri, the head of the Arab League in 1948, said it was the Arab nations that told them to leave. So everyone insists that Israel is at fault. Arnold Toynbee had the audacity to call the displacement of the Arabs an atrocity greater than any committed by the Nazis. Other nations, when victorious on the battlefield, dictate peace terms. When Israel's victorious, it's got to sue for peace. It's somehow as if everyone expects the Jews and the Israelis to be the only real Christians in the world. Other nations, when they're defeated, survive and recover. But should Israel be defeated, it would be destroyed. He writes, had Nasser triumphed in the 67 war, he would have wiped Israel off the map. Well, Nasrallah is threatening that today, and no one would have lifted a finger to save it. There's a cry of outrage all over the world when people die anywhere, in Asia, in Africa, anywhere. When Hitler slaughtered people, no one remonstrated with him. The Swedes, the great, nuanced, neutral Swedes, were ready to break off diplomatic relations with America because of what America's foreign policy has been. But they didn't let it a peep when Hitler was slaughtering everybody. They sent Hitler iron ore, ball bearings, and services troop trains to Norway. Hoffer continues, the Israelis and Jews are alone in the world. If Israel survives, it will be solely because of its efforts and its resources. Yet at this moment, Israel is the only reliable and unconditional ally of the West. We can rely on more on Israel than Israel can rely on us. And one has only to imagine what would have happened, or what will happen, if the Arabs and their backers, if the radical Arabs, the radical Muslims and their backers, in today's terminology, win any war. We will then realize how vital the survival of Israel is to America and to the free world in general. But sadly, I have a premonition that will not leave me. As it goes with Israel, so will it go with all of us. That was Eric Hoffer in 1968, my friends. The same is true today. Israel accepts responsibility for liberty. It's time all of us and our political leaders did as well. I'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thanks for listening.